Hello and welcome to the snow-filled Woody the Woodpecker version of Vikings Territory Breakdown. I'm Joe Oberle, senior writer at VikingsTerritory.com and PurplePTSD.com, and that's Mark Craig from Star Tribune and StarTribune.com. Mark is currently battling Woody the Woodpecker out at his house. He's just ripping up your house with his beak.
Back when I had this crappy press board siding, they destroyed it. But then we got nice siding and everything. But there is one little wood spot that he's pecking on. So I turned to Twitter to announce that I was at war with this woodpecker. All it would take is a good BB gun shot, and I was told that they're a protected species. So I'm backing off. I wanted to announce here on this podcast, seen by millions of people, that I am not shooting at woodpeckers. I do have a piece of tinfoil that flaps in the wind, and that seems to work.
I got those at both houses, that shiny stuff to ward them away, because they put some holes in ours as well. And I spent a lot of time smacking the wall when I hear them. When I hear him outside pecking away, but
well, I threw some rocks, but I was about as accurate as Josh Freeman in the Giants game. So,
Woodpecker was one of my favorite cartoons.
I should have paid $180 million. Kirk could hit that woodpecker. He's got great accuracy, can make all the throws. I should have paid up.
I don't think they want you throwing footballs at him or rocks at him either, Mark. So now you're back in the meat grinder. Anyway,
all right.
We'll move on. The Vikings have I got more news. They're in free agency for another week, and Kwesi's been after it. He's been making some signings, and we can go through some of those. The big ones is the Vikings signed cornerback Shaquille Griffin to a 1-year contract for up to $6 million, and that was a position that you talked about previously that the Vikings really needed to do something. What do you think of that move, Mark?
They're pretty active here, but right now you're just plugging holes with bodies right now just to try and basically when I see these signings now, it's kind of like when you get to the bottom of the ice cream tub and you're like trying to get that last spot, guys with potential. Obviously Shaquille Griffin is a guy that at one point, the first 4 years in the league in Seattle was outstanding. He had 60 some passes defense. I think he had hit here somewhere. 6 interceptions, 48 passes defense in 57 games, 53 starts. Then he went to Jacksonville for 2 years and a big, 3 years, $40 million in Jacksonville. He lasted 2 years. They cut him. Goes to Houston, plays 10 games. They cut him there. And then Carolina brings him in for 3 games. And then they didn't bother to re-sign him or go after him at free agency. So now here he is at a 1 year, what'd you say, up to $6 million?
Yeah.
He's 28. He's getting close to turning 29. It's a good signing only because there's no risk. But this doesn't eliminate the fact that they, I know they got quarterback is obviously number one priority in the draft, but I think they need, to focus on getting another corner. Whether it's in the draft or maybe after the draft and some of the teams start letting guys go. You get a little, makes me a little nervous. Say, they'll get another one in the draft. Well, they kind of proved, Andrew Booth's career is not over, but, they got a guy, that's the guy who should be starting for him right now. And he's not. So you miss on a pick like that. And now you have to maybe go back to the draft and pick. Those are the things that just snowball on you and you just end up, it's not sustainable. So they've got to figure this draft out.
Shaquille Griffin, he was the guy that had a twin brother, right, at Seattle? That was also?
Yeah, okay.
That's a little concerning to see that he's cut by two teams and not picked up by a free agency by a third one in recent times. Do you think, he's 29, you said, do you think he's got anything left? You think,
it's just one of these, it's Byron Murphy. Byron Murphy last year was a guy that was potentially a high risk or no risk, high reward. I don't know where he falls, he'd probably a medium reward. But right now he's a guy that you bring in, and based on what you have, and he's not the greatest thing ever, and he's coming off a bad year where he got cut by, or, you know, got let go by the Jaguars, and he got let go by the Texans, and then, you know, Carolina doesn't want him. So a lot of red flags there. But when you look at what they have compared to his potential, you know, I see him, he's clearly has a chance to start opposite of Murphy. You know, Caleb Evans has got potential, but he was benched twice by Flores during the year. So it's just one of those where it's nothing to like have a ticker tape parade about, but you know, it's for what they're paying, and this guy is definitely in a prove it year. It's a good signing, but you still want more talent right there than what they have.
Do you think Brian Murphy, after a second year in Flores' defense, will flourish? Will do better than he did last year? Do you think there's possibility for him to have a better year than last year?
Yeah, definitely a possibility. But he did end the year. You know, he came in as an injury guy and left the season as a guy who missed, I don't know what, the last handful of games with injury. So, you know, if he stays healthy, we can just get the crawler going, I guess. But, you know, he was a guy that came in with that back injury that he had, and then he ends the season with another injury. So,
yeah.
Corners, Griffin is a guy who's only had 1 year where he played all, you know, every game. So, these guys typically, you know, they'll get hamstrings and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, Byron Murphy, you're trying to build around guys who are probably middle-of-the-road guys. But Flores, if he can ever get a guy he can really trust, and the guy stays healthy and has a good year, he could do a lot more than what he did last year. Because he's kind of playing, I don't want to say he's playing without corners, but he's definitely playing without a guy that can shut down half the field.
So I guess I'll suffice it to say, even though they've got a body in there, they still have to look at cornerback in this draft somewhere, perhaps, and maybe bolster that position. So. The Vikings also signed defensive lineman Jonah Williams to bolster the defensive line. What do you know about him? And I know that's another thing you wanted to see the Vikings do in free agency is get some bodies there. Are you feeling better about their DL right now, or is where's it at for you?
Yeah, it's kind of like what I mean. Last year we very, you know, kind of down on the defensive line. It just looked like a bunch of backups. Harrison Phillips played a little bit better than played a lot more than he probably should have. But I don't think that I think you know my mine and a lot of other people's like failure to get excited about the defensive line is shared by Brian Flores, because Brian Flores probably played. I think I saw this somewhere. Seifert might have had it or somewhere in the stat. One third of the snaps were one defensive lineman, you know. So they did a lot of like the extra linebackers, and especially in rushing situations. But they didn't have a whole lot there. There wasn't the depth. And they didn't re-sign Bullard. Jonah Williams is a guy that you know, he's 28, almost 29. O'Connell's familiar with him because he was there with the Rams. You know, so not that O'Connell's a defensive guy, but he was there. He's familiar with the guy, the person. But yeah, I mean, it's another guy. It's just a minor signing with the potential for it to be good. You know, he's clearly a backup. You don't go in, you don't give a guy 1 year, you know, $1.5 million and, you know, and expect him to be like a, you know, primary starter. So it's, they're filling with Tillery and this guy, they re-signed Bullard. But it's, a lot of it just looks like what they have with Tonga and Lowry and Lynch and TJ Smith, just, you know, older retread type guys. But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, they, you know, Christian Wilkins, the guy that was with the Dolphins, that was the Flores guy. He cost too damn much. You know, he was the Kirk Cousins of defensive tackles. He goes to the Raiders. So you can't have that sometimes, and you got to have something. So they're doing the best they can, I think, at that position right now. But that, again, that's another position. If there's something's there, you know, those guys typically don't show up on day three, you know, those great defensive tackles. So I don't know where you get one, but you can't fill everything, I suppose.
If they're any good, they'll end up in Cleveland, right? Because if anybody's good on the Vikings, they just go to Cleveland. And
well, yeah, they probably would have brought back Tomlinson, but yep. You know, Cleveland did overpay him, and I was surprised. He did end up having a better year than I thought, and that was obviously on a very good defense. So yeah, if they're willing to, you know, throw some good players the Browns way out, it's all for it, you know.
Yeah, I suppose.
Justin Jefferson, I think he's going to cost too much. You should probably trade him to Cleveland for a seventh and a sixth rounder next year.
Okay, we're going to edit that right out of this broadcast because I will not truck any talk of trading Justin Jefferson, even though people continue to do it. And they say, you know, oh, my God, you got to explore everything. No, you don't explore that. You figure out a way to pay him and build your team around a guy like that. But whatever. They still haven't signed Dalton Reisner. And you dug up a quote from Kwesi saying on KFAN that they're essentially comfortable with the roster now heading into the draft. Kind of bears out what you said last week, that they're going to let Reisner, who certainly, you know, he held out last year for more money and you know, is probably looking for more money this year and maybe to see what the market is and hopefully get him later. Is that how you read that situation?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we talked about Feeney, you know, the guy they got, who's sort of looks like a replacement for Austin Schlottman, who is a center/guard. But, you know, they're probably, you know, letting Reisner's people know that he could also be a Dalton Reisner replacement as well. If Dalton Reisner is wanting, you know, a boatload of money, I'd let him sit for a while. I mean, he hasn't signed anywhere. So, you know, clearly that was a case last year because he stayed out and he was kind of one of those guys that was willing to not play the first few games and then ended up signing. You know, so, you know, that's definitely a track record with him. You know, I don't see him. He's not, to me, you know, like a Pro Bowl caliber player. He was a good player, but, you know, they need better in there, and I don't know where you get it when we're, you know, every time we mention a position, it's like, well, you know, yeah, that's a guy you're looking at in the draft, and maybe that is a guard, is a guy that you can get later on, but typically, you know, it was, as we've seen a lot here in Minnesota, those guards on day three, especially when Spielman was here, those guard/center, maybe tackles, or, you know, they were just a dime a dozen, and that's about all they were worth.
Yeah, I mean, I liked, you know, Reisman was here for a short time last year, and I liked what he brought. I mean, he brought a kind of a little bit of the nasty attitude that I think this offensive line needed. So I'd love to have it back, but I don't know that you can't spend through the roof on it. And, you know.
He brought the attitude. I don't think he brought the force and the power. I don't think he was that. He's not, you know, guard sometimes gets overlooked, but when you get a really good guard and you see what like a Steve Hutchinson, who was before his time and getting paid a lot of money as a guard, they stand out. I mean, they don't not only have the nasty, which Steve Hutchinson had oodles of, he also had strength and power and leverage and technique that, you know, he cleared holes. He didn't, and those are hard to find. I mean, like the ones that are great now in the league were guys that were first round picks. And Quentin Nelson, I think, was a top 10 pick, which, you know, he's I don't even know how many all pros he's up to now, but those are the kind of guys you get there. So maybe, Joe, no quarterback, draft a guard, draft the best guard.
You know, when you look back at the Vikings and they had a good guard, well, you know, some of their best offensive lines because they had good guard play, you know, Steve Hutchinson, Randall McDaniel. He was a guard, right? Yeah. And, you know, it's important. You had a good running game. And, man, oh, man, that's Steve Hutchinson. How they got him here was something else, where Chili went and did the poison pill in the contract and got him here. I don't know. I just remember that. It's one of those things that don't always work out. They paid for it later because they did – Seattle did the same thing back to the Vikings with Nate Burleson the next year. But
I think the Vikings won that little
– Yeah, I think so.
Little urinating match. But But then the league obviously they closed that that loophole on him. Yeah. That was Rob Brzezinski. That was a classic Rob Brzezinski thinking ahead, pushing the league to a higher level when it comes to monitoring some of this.
Changing the game. Well, on that note, we'll take a quick break here on the podcast, and we will come back. So come on back and join us for more Purple Talk on Vikings Territory Breakdown. Okay, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, the Vikings picked up a couple more linebackers as well, second, third-tier players. And I'm going to put on my best Sid Hartman hat and try to pronounce these names, but they got Jihad Ward, outside linebacker, and yeah, he's 29 years old, and Kamu Grugier-Hill, who's also 29 years old from Papakolea, Hawaii. Boy, I did all that without being Sid-like in saying that. What do you think? I do okay there?
Well, as we were talking about it, in the year that they drafted the linebacker who retired with the heart, he had heart surgery. I think it was Craig Smith. Mm. You know, the NFL let, I don't know, different people in different towns make announcements. You know, like maybe it was here. It was Sid Hartman was Sid with the fifth overall, but no, with the fifth round pick, the Vikings select, and we knew it was going to be Sid Hartman, and they had a camera ready for him and everything. And we're thinking, oh my gosh, all the names that could be coming our way. Let's give him, Kenechi Udeze or something like that. And it was like, and Sid goes, oh, with the fifth round pick, Vikings draft Craig Smith. And we're like, oh, so.
Yeah, the media is totally disappointed.
Yeah, I love Craig Smith. Unfortunate story. Did a story on him when he had his heart surgery, and he actually, him getting the physical with the Vikings, I think it was around COVID, beginning of COVID, is what could have saved his life, and with the heart murmur or whatever he had. So just the fact that his name was easy to pronounce. But no, these guys, this is it's a good time to be a 29-year-old guy who needs a prove-it contract, and you can get yourself a couple million dollars, because the Vikings are, they have a little Kool-Aid stand of that stuff. Come over here, aging guys who may still have something left. We're not going to pay a lot, but a lot is relative. But I think they're both, Ward's with, I think this is his sixth team in 8 years.
Hmm.
And so he's basically, they've signed what, four edge rushers.
Yeah.
He had five sacks last year, but I think he's considered more of a run stopper. He's not like a dominant pass rusher, but he did have five sacks last year. They just need more bodies there. They need more guys with potential who are affordable. And he's one of those guys, definitely he's a depth guy. I wouldn't see him as being a starter. The Grugier-Hill guy, I think he's sort of like your Troy Dye. He'd be like a guy who plays, he's probably going to play a lot of special teams reps. Losing Troy Dye may not appear to be like a big deal, but mm-hmm. He played a lot of special teams. He's that kind of backup linebacker who can play special teams. He's another guy that has been, I think, on, this is his sixth team. That doesn't even include, like, the Patriots drafted him, I think, in the sixth round in 2016, but he never played for them. So again, mm-hmm. These are guys that, they're not going to knock anyone over, but they're necessary parts if you're trying to rebuild yourself. And it's good that, Flores is clearly more involved in like finding guys, and he knows what he has now from last mm-hmm. year and what he had. So it's good that he's involved and he's been through the Vikings a year. So it may look like the same type of guys where, 1 year prove it, older with a little bit of potential left. But at least he's kind of got his fingerprints on it.
When you look at these kind of picks and you look at what the Vikings have done overall, and, they have made some early big signings for sure. The defenders from Texans and Aaron Jones and Sam Darnold. But when you look at what they're generating, so many 1-year contracts peppered in throughout their free agency signings – this really, maybe I'm not stepping out on much of a limb, but this is really a placeholder year, isn't it? I mean, we shouldn't expect they're not trying to get that final piece of the puzzle to get them over the top in the playoffs for a playoff run to the Super Bowl. This is kind of we're going to wait till next year where we can really, you know, we have over 100 million in cap room, and we can sign some big name players. And this seems like they got to do this to pay JJ, and it's going to be a placeholder year. You know, you can just forget the season. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when you don't jump in on day one, when they jumped in on and got Grenard, they paid a little bit more for him, more guaranteed, more years, stuff like that. But you know, these are the guys that, you know, even if you're one or two pieces away, you know, these are depth guys that they're picking in that could maybe step in. Although I wouldn't say Griffin's is a depth guy. He comes in as your starter, I think.
Wow.
Based on what, you know, what the feeling, you know, the fact that Caleb Evans, you know, got benched twice last year, I would say that Griffin comes in. I'd put him as a starter right now. But there's pieces there that he's going to have to compete with, obviously. But there's a reason a guy like that comes here for his 1 year, prove it to the others. He probably feels he's going to be a starter. But yeah, this year you're getting rid of, you know, you're getting rid of the Kirk contract. You're having to pay, Jefferson at some point here, I would think. And you're having to, you know, Darisaw is getting in line for a longer deal. And so, yeah, there's a lot of parts that are a lot of expensive parts, and getting rid of Kirk. And then, you know, everything they do hinges on finding that quarterback who, if not this year, you know, in 2025 is your starter. And if they hit on him, then it's one of those that few teams seem to enjoy. You know, like the Bengals enjoyed it with Joe Burrow, and obviously the Ravens did for a long time with Jackson. And so, you know, you get that, and Seattle did it with Russell Wilson years ago. They win a Super Bowl with a guy on his rookie contract. It's what everybody wants. It's when you're not picking number one overall, though. And even when you're picking number one overall, it's not guaranteed. So. But that everything right now is like they got to get the quarterback right, or they're not going to. This group will not be around long.
Yeah, you mentioned Caleb Evans a couple times, and do you think where do you think those benchings came from? I mean, do you think it's possible? I know he didn't have as good a year last year as maybe she showed promise of as a rookie, but then he got those concussions as a rookie. Does that have some kind of effect on maybe the way he played? You know, that they didn't see the same player out there, or were they justified? What did you think of him getting benched and seemingly relegated?
Well, I certainly hope that the concussions didn't affect him a year later. If he does, he needs to retire. It's a different system. You know, I see it as a guy that, he's given exactly what to do. And by Flores, who has, you know, ideas on whatever, you know, the guys that got his system, the guys like Metellus is not the greatest athlete in the world. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but Josh Metellus picked up that defense. Josh Metellus is not the athlete that Lewis Cine is, but he has a better feel for the game. He has a better feel for what Flores wants to do. So he's playing at a faster, you know, level. I think a Caleb Evans, the defense, he didn't come natural to him. Maybe he was freelancing a little bit, but it was clear in a few games there toward the end of the year, toward mid to end of the year, where it was like, you know, he came out and came out again. And it was, Flores is going to, I think there's a little bit of frustration with Flores of what he could do if he had his corners given him a little bit more.
That puts even more emphasis on that position, that they got to find somebody to step up those ranks.
Yeah, and it's not anything new to this defense, or Bill Belichick. Everybody can say Tom Brady took him to all those Super Bowls. Well, that's not the case. I mean, his defense, and when Bill Belichick would get a corner that he could shut down half the field, you know, the Revises of the world, and all the, you know, there's a
Courtney
guys, you know, that's whenever they could, you know, be the best defense and have the best quarterback, best player in the league.
Yeah. That's a good point. It's nice to have a good defense. Just ask Patrick Mahomes down in Chicago. It was nice for them this year. Well, coaching makes a difference, and thank goodness the Vikings have finalized their coaching staff, some news they made this week. And as you pointed out, they have 27 coaches, Mark. 27. Is that enough? Don't they need a few more? I mean, they got 53 players. You could go another 10 coaches. Yeah, you don't want these guys working. No, I'm just kidding.
If they hired a half a coach, they would have what, two for every one, or another coach, if you have two coaches for every player, or yeah, one coach for every two players. It's obviously a different era, you know. Like, you talk to the people back from, you know, Bud's era, where they had, I think, maybe six total coaches, or five or six coaches. And it'd be like, well, what the hell does everybody – people from that era would say, you know, like I said it to you, it was two passing game coordinators, but one's a defensive passing game coordinator. So offensively, here's what you have. You have an offensive pass game coordinator. You have a running game coordinator. Now, that guy's got to step it up, the run game coordinator. Either that or no one's listening to him. Passing game specialist, an assistant head coach, and an assistant offensive coordinator, which I've never heard, to an offensive coordinator who doesn't call plays. So, I mean, there's a lot of coaches there, and that's it's kind of a modern thing, but maybe I think Vikings might even be taking this. I'd be curious to see if where 27 ranks in, because that's a lot of assistants. And
that's good. You can have all those guys, and just to make sure you have someone to be interim coach if they kick KOC loose after a 0-7 start.
They could have like a tournament. If they could get 32, and then you could have this could maybe be some play-in games or something too, you know.
They go for any more coaches, they're going to be calling you to fill some a slot down there, Mark.
Be it the associate to the assistant associate head coach.
Yeah, and you can do it right from your room right there. How about that? Isn't that great?
Yeah, like offensive line coach when he wouldn't take the shot. You know, I took my shot.
We talked about this a little bit last week, and there was a little change to it. The Vikings, the NFL is trying to do a new kickoff rule to get more interest back in that play. And just yesterday, the committee voted unanimously on a tweaking it so that if you touchbacks will now be brought out to the 30 instead of the 35. The original proposal was the 35. Now it's the 30. And I think I'm not sure what that ramification is, but there was a lot of chatter about it yesterday. Any thoughts on that?
Owners meeting is this week, so yeah,
right, they're gonna vote it, but the committee recommended it unanimously. So
yeah, I think when we talked about it, it was I didn't realize that, I guess the kicker kicks off from the usual spot. If it's a touchback, it's, you say, the 35 now.
I mean, well, they proposed the 35. These guys tweaked it to the 30, you know.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good.
And last year was the 25, right? You brought touchbacks came out to the 25 last
year. Yeah, or you could fair catch it, you know. You could fair catch it. And, what, you know, whatever they do, at some point, if they can't do something with it, just get away with it, because they probably do need to do something, because it's a joke. It's never the opening touchback. It's not the opening kickoff anymore. Yeah, I think the kicker would kick off from the 30, 35 or 30.
Something like that. Yeah.
And then, but then the guys who normally run, you know, right beside the kicker, they are lined up, I believe, in the other team's area of the field, maybe the 40, like 5 yards apart. But they can't take off running until the ball is fielded or whatever.
Sounds like it's the XFL rule, and they're modifying it a little
bit. Yeah, something like that. So, I don't know. That sounds like it's got some – I think I'd rather have something like – try something like that as opposed to, you know, just putting it on the 25, because, you know, kickoffs were, you know, at one time. You know, those of us old enough to remember Billy White Shoes Johnson and even the younger people with Devin Hester – Cordero Patterson. I mean, those are historic plays, you know, that we got to see, you know. And now just to start on the 25 doesn't seem right. So I think they got to do something. So,
yeah, 35 does seem a little much. I mean, if you start a team at 35, they need a couple first downs in there and field goal range, you know. So,
yeah, I mean, it's definitely the incentive. Or, well, I don't know. And then you puts it on your kicker. I think if you did that, you'd have to do away with the in the field of play, because otherwise you clearly would just fair catch it all the time. Yeah. So, yeah, it's I don't know. Those are above our pay grade. Yeah.
It's above our pay grade, but it's you know, we'll have to think about it during a break. So we'll take a break, and we're not going to think about it. We'll see what it is when they vote on it. We'll know in a few weeks or so. But I'm trying to make a segue, Mark. Help me out here. I'm trying to segue to a break, and that's not easy. You know, that's clearly above my pay grade. So come on back, and we'll talk some more Vikings news on the Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast. Okay, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast with NFL insider and Vikings writer from the Star Tribune, Mark Craig. Mark, our old buddy Sean Payton made a little news yesterday. Maybe it was this morning I saw it. He was asked or something and said, yeah, moving up to trading up to in the draft to nail one of those top three quarterbacks is a realistic thing, he said. So he didn't say that he was going to do it, but I think he's just throwing it out there as more fodder to maybe get people to freak out some of the other coaches. And he says, I'm not sure what the compensation package would be, but boy, oh boy, if you get more bidders in there, the Patriots who have put out feelers that, you know, they could see trading the third pick away. If you get that, they could, they're probably out. They're all trying to up the ante to get some team like the Vikings to pay way too much to get a quarterback that may or may not work out.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. That's all Sid ever said on his media things. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I would say to Sean Payton is that, you know, if swallowing $85 million in dead money is possible, which they did on Russell Wilson, I would say anything is possible. I mean, over 2 years, they have $85 million in cap space that will be designated to a guy who's playing in Pittsburgh for $1 million. So, you know, I know it was Sean Payton. Huh?
I was going to say, who is their quarterback out in Denver right now? Do they have
one? Well, they went and got the guy who played in New England. I don't know if he was there last year.
Oh, Scott. Adams or
Stidham, I think Stidham. So they got basically nothing. They got basically nothing. And you know, the thing with Sean Payton, and Sean Payton obviously won a Super Bowl. Sean Payton is his reputation is great and everything. And
stole a Super Bowl.
Huh?
He stole the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. Touched the nerve on that one. So,
oh yeah.
So if we go back any further, we can talk about the push off. It wasn't a push off. What was I saying? To me, it's like, you know, Sean Payton comes in with this reputation and everything. You know, if he really was that great and that much of a genius, figure out Russell Wilson. Figure out a way to make that work and not have your team have to cut Russell Wilson. Granted, I know Russell Wilson was terrible 2 years ago. Last year, he was not as good, but he was improving, I think. And it's like, to do that, you know, it just, yeah, anything is possible. Because they now have to get a quarterback. I think they're probably on the hook more to get a quarterback than the Vikings. They got to find someone cheap that can be cheap for the next 2 years. So, I would think that Denver is – I don't know what their resources are on to move up, but you know, there's no way they're just going to sit there and just take whatever, you know, comes their way. They have to. They have right. to. We'll find a quarterback because of the disastrous moves they've made in the last 2 years.
And you also got the Raiders who could potentially jump up. They are kind of in need of a quarterback as well. I know that, you know, that the Cardinals are sitting at four. The Chargers, who don't need a quarterback, are sitting at five. The Chargers don't necessarily. So I think you got to get up. It would be nice for the Vikings to get up in the top four to get, you know, one of those four quarterbacks. But I guess I don't see the Cardinals trading away the fourth because they want Marvin Harrison, so people say. And he's not going to be around. If the Vikings trade him the 11th pick, he's not going to be around at 11 for them to get them. So I don't know what is going to happen. It concerns me that the Vikings are going to have to even maybe get to the fourth. They're going to have to give up 3 first round picks, the 2 this year and then 1 next year. That's the only way you might get a team to make that trade, because they're, you know, and it just seems 3 first round picks seems a lot for any player. But if it gets you a franchise quarterback, yay. If it doesn't, we'll be talking about it for the rest of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see Arizona giving it up, because, yeah, you know, Marvin Harrison, even though he's refusing to work out and refusing to do anything, I still think that people can watch the film and still, you know, decide that he's the best receiver. But what you see, you know, what you saw a little bit, I think, last year, and you see more of now, is teams will trade down and then they trade back up. So, yeah, I do think it takes another number one for them to go up into the top 4. I think to go to 5, maybe, because, you know, Arizona has to think that, and I know that the Chargers want to get an offensive tackle to, you know, protect Herbert, and but you have to think that if Arizona trades out of 4 and the Vikings come up and take a quarterback, that the Chargers are sitting there and they're going to take Marvin Harrison. I they'd be stupid not to.
Right.
That's a Michigan guy picking your Ohio State guy, but you know, you just have to think that Marvin Harrison goes right away. It'd be a good year to, you know, see that, like the Bears would be in 1-9. The Bears can sit there and get, you know, get Caleb Williams, which, you know, right now it's going to be funny. It's going to be interesting to look back on this in 5 years. I don't have anything to really base it on other than watching him briefly and just getting a sense for, I don't know, the arrogance, but he's a modern day player. So you have to temper that with my old guy mentality of, you know, him acting a certain way and going, yeah, I don't like that. But it's a long way of saying that this guy's not a guarantee. And I'm curious to say, you know, because we can all remember Jamarcus Russell and what it was like. Oh my God, this guy's a freak of nature when it comes physically, can do everything, cannon for the arm.
You're talking Caleb Williams.
He was a bust. So we'll see. You know, the Bears eventually have got to hit it right, I would think, but who knows? But they sit there and get their quarterback, and then they come back at 9, and it may be the top defender on the board as well, because there's tackles in there that Joe Alt, who's from Eden Prairie or wherever, is sitting there. Someone's going to take him in the top 10. Marvin Harrison. Then there's all these other receivers that may go top 10. So the Bears are sitting there with, if they hit those 2 picks after some of the other things they've done, it's, you know, someone dogged me for saying that the Vikings are trying to catch up to the Bears, and maybe not record wise. They finished tied 7 wins, I think, last year, but it certainly feels like they need to catch up.
Oh, yeah. They can dog you. I wouldn't disagree at all. I think the Vikings are looking up at 3 teams right now just because of how the Bears are situated and how they have been situated. When you get the first overall pick 2 years in a row, it's like Cleveland did back in the day when the basketball team in the NBA, they got the first pick overall like 3 times in a matter of like 5 years, and they won a championship as a result, you know? So, I mean, that's if you don't, if you have the – in the NFL, if you got, well, you like you say 1-9 this year, they had 1 last year and they had some others. I mean, if they aren't going to be a really good team in the next few years, somebody is really screwing up, because you know, everything's out there about all these players. It's all in front of you. You can see it. You have your interviews. It's a crapshoot. Yes. But you've got, with all those picks the Bears have been getting lately, if they aren't battling for the division in the next 2 years with the Lions and or Packers, I think it's bad. And, you know,
well, it comes down to the quarterback, you know, if they get the quarterback right. But I liked what they, I think I like some of the things they've done, like having the number 1 pick 2 years ago or last year, and trading that and getting DJ Moore, not only getting, you know,
right,
Carolina, what they got draft pick wise from Carolina, they got DJ Moore, who's a young receiver in his prime, who had a great year. And then they turn around and they get Carolina's number 1 pick overall. And so the moves that trade is fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then, you know, middle of the year, getting getting Sweat, the edge rusher that, you know Brian O'Neill's not going to want to see that guy twice a year for the near, you know, long term future. So yeah, they're doing a lot of nice things. Detroit is obviously doing a lot of nice things. The Packers are maybe not doing a ton of great things, but they're doing what the Packers do, and they replace their quarterback, and they go on. You know, so you'd like to be able to do it like the Packers do, but no one else in this modern era wants to do that.
Right. You know, you can. The fans may not agree with you, but the team, the Vikings personnel department, better agree with you that they're chasing three teams in their division right now. They better have that mentality and get things done. But in the meantime, we get to talk about more important things, you know, on the Vikings. Like Justin Jefferson is going to be a subject of the next Netflix quarterback, now called Receiver series. He's teamed up with Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Devontae Adams, and Amon St. Brown. You know, I it's fine. I think it's great. Whatever. I don't care that much. You know, I saw it. I was really, for me, it was enlightening to see Kirk because I didn't know anything about him. I think JJ is a really decent fellow that's hopefully behind the scenes is just the same way he is when we see him. And I don't know what this is going to let out about him or if it will be revelatory in any way, but like it was for Cousins, but I don't know. I'm just worried that he won't get this publicity and then he'll be gone the next year.
Well, I hope that, because it was filmed during the 23 season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think for Vikings fans, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what he was doing during his or what he was doing and what was being said. You know, because we all assumed he was going to get that contract extension before the season started.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to happen anytime. It's going to happen anytime. And then it didn't happen. And
then he missed 8 weeks.
It's going to be interesting to see what the frustration level was behind the scenes, or if he showed it, you know, what he said behind the scenes and what they were willing to show. And, you know, by it being there, you know, it's not a news, you know, it isn't a news outlet doing it. It's a production. It's entertainment. So, I don't know. Hopefully we could see, you know, what some of the true feelings were about that. I would love to, I want to know, because I've said, you know, he should have played in that Bears game. That was a critical loss, that Monday nighter. Remember that? And we said, I think we should play. And, you know, not being a doctor, not examining him or anything, but just had a feeling. Had a feeling it was time for him to come back. And I swear that they must have just said, we can handle the Bears without him. Let's give him another week.
Oh,
and they ended up biting him on the ass. So I'd love to see where he was in his rehab at that point, if they get that detailed about it. But I like these things. George Kittle, I mean, come on, George. You know, he's a tight end university, and all of his hanging out with his tight ends, and he says sellout, and he goes and joins the receiver, you know, episode. I don't know about that. But they did Deebo, so that's going to be interesting to see that dynamic, you know, with Deebo.
Right. Samuel.
I like how they, you know, what they did with the quarterback, what they did perfectly was find guys at different spots in their career. Like, you know, mixing a Mariota with Mahomes and even Kirk was fascinating for me to see how one guy, Kirk, love him, hate him, whatever you want to say about him. You came across that the game, this means a lot to him. And we kind of knew that, but it was good for the people to.
And then we saw what he did, and he took the money and ran to Atlanta.
And that's not his fault. You know, he kept basically telling them to commit to him and he'll sign there. Well, they just was okay. They were being courted. He's being courted by two people. One person said, "Oh my God, come here. We'll love you forever. You can retire here." The other said, "Come on, sign it. Give us a good deal. Don't stick around too long, and don't leave us with a bunch of dead cap in next year whenever the guy we're going to draft to replace you starts. So if you can do that for us, we love you." Well, he took the one that said, "Well, hey, you're our guy for the as long as I can see."
Don't forget, however, because you're juxtaposing I am now and the series, he had final say on what was in that Netflix series. He had veto power, he and his wife. So let's just remember that.
I guess they probably all do. I would think. I don't know.
Right. So I'm not going to say, you know, while it was revelatory to see.
Oh, Kirk, you're backtracking now that he's not one. Now that he's not on your team, you're backtracking, right?
I'm saying it was. It was great. I really enjoyed it. I saw a side of him that I didn't know about, how much he was into the game. But, you know, I'm sorry. He said all these things about wanting to be here, wanting to retire a Viking. And, you know, then he runs down the road. Oh, I want to retire a Falcon.
Well, the Vikings weren't committing to him to retire. This guy wants to play more than one more year.
Yeah, I know.
The Vikings' commitment to him was, you know, take a short-term, you know, deal and basically get the hell out of here, so that, and don't leave us with dead money, because we got a guy that we're trying to draft your replacement last year. We're definitely going to try and draft your replacement this year. So the whole retiring as a Viking, yeah, I think he did want to, but they didn't commit to him. So I'll defend the Vikings for saying, hey, no more money down the rabbit hole. You know, right. Just too much. You cost
they had
too
to.
Much.
They had to.
Yeah. But I will not say Kirk should have, like.
No, I'm not saying except that they should have been able to find someone in the middle of those two things, as far as.
Well, the Falcons put it so far out here, and the Vikings were right. So far here that the middle was unacceptable to both sides. So.
Yeah, you're probably right. It, you know, the Vikings ultimately couldn't pay what Kirk was asking. They couldn't. Kirk shouldn't take what, you know, with this other offer. I don't blame him either. But I'm not going to say, you know, he's the white saint that money doesn't matter to him. Don't say that. I mean, that's slightly insulting because, yes, of course it does.
Yeah, I think what he's meaning, and anybody who says that is an idiot, or they think we're idiots for believing it. But his how he painted it was it's what the money meant.
It makes the same thing.
The money meant commitment, which meant more years, which meant we believe that you can we'll commit to you for more than 2 years. But yeah, anytime you start saying
speculation,
take less commitment, and we're going to draft your replacement and help us train your replacement, that's just not going to fly.
It's, you know, to say what the money meant is pretty vague, Mark, because what you're speculating is what you're saying it represents or what it does.
Well, it
what it basically does. Means is it can go buy another golf course down in Atlanta. Maybe you'll buy Augusta, Mark.
Well, but what it means is that the fact that, I mean, like Atlanta is tangled up in him, just like the Vikings were tangled up in him. They're tangled up in Kirk, like. You know, they got their hands behind their back and one hand up here and all this stuff. They're tangled up in Kirk's and his agent's structure of a contract. So, yeah, it's a lot of money, but it's also, well, we can't, like, try you out for a year and then boot you out and then be, you know, be done with you. The money represents, like, a handcuff to this team. And it's like, well, we got to give him another chance. And that's basically what was happening with the Vikings up until it got to a point where, you know, frankly, the Vikings should thank the Falcons, because the Vikings,
to a certain extent, yeah.
If say the Vikings, you know, this year they don't get their quarterback. Sam Darnold is Sam Darnold, and he completes 42% of his passes, and he throws 25 interceptions and 19 touchdowns, and he's Sam Darnold. Then, you know, I think the knee-jerk reaction would be, oh, they should have signed Kirk. But I think that Atlanta came in with a deal that was so big that I think people would still say, you know, we couldn't, you know, for the sake of the future, we couldn't just go down that, keep going down that hole.
Absolutely. I have no ill will towards Cousins. I've been more of a defender than a detractor from Cousins, but I've never believed that he's the guy to take us to the promised land. So I don't have any ill will, but I do bristle a little bit at some of the language that is used when these divorces happen. I get it. Someone asks him a question, you got to say something, and you know. But he is as politic as there is a guy in the He knows what he's saying. And so I'm not going to swallow all his money. It's what it represents and just say, oh, God, yes, you are saying, Kirk. I'm not saying you are saying this. I'm just saying I'm not going to quite go there. I'm going to go, okay, Kirk, I get you. You like money, too, just like the rest of us. Don't say you don't.
Oh, I mean, there's no question he's the most, you know, politically scrubbed guy when it comes to Washington. That, not that, but he's airbrushed. I mean, the Barbie movie could have been Ken. Ken could have been Kirk. It could have, you know, it's because it was, you know, even when he presents himself, when he goes on that show and he does the, you know, the singing and the dancing now, it's almost, and then you look at the Oscars and you see the actor that did Ken, you know, him doing that, it's like, wow, he's obviously he can move better and he's
Ryan Gosling.
Kirk moved pretty well. Kirk couldn't sing. But, you know, you get that feeling. It's like, you know, that's what he's trying to be. And so, yeah. You thought we were done talking about Kirk.
Yes. That was the reputation he came to Minnesota with, is that he was this the perfect couple. I remember reading stories about that. I said, really? I had no idea. They're the couple with the two kids and blah, blah, blah. They're good people. I have nothing against them.
Yeah, genuine for the most part. And
I think he is.
Bottom line is he cost too damn much money and I wouldn't have paid him that. So,
but nobody's bothered by it because apparently the Vikings are, so we're told, the sixth happiest fan base in the league right now. The Sports Geek did a thing where they counted all the posts on social media around and the Vikings came in sixth in the league, sixth happiest. Can you feel the love, Mark?
This feels like 2000. I want a recount. I want a. There's got to be some hanging Chad somewhere that they counted when it comes to the Vikings. Who was number one?
Oh, let me see. I had it up here somewhere. I can't remember what I did.
I don't.
It is number one is the Pittsburgh Steelers by 10,258
positive
posts. Yeah. And the next one is Baltimore Ravens with 9,774. The Bears are third with almost 9,000. The Eagles are fourth. The Dolphins are fifth, and the Vikings are sixth. It's all about who's been active in free agency, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but I don't know that Vikings fans you guys have been through a lot. That's okay. So it's even the older ones have been through a lot. The medium aged ones have been a lot, and the young ones have been through. It's all together, kind of for different reasons. I will say the Vikings. I certainly wouldn't put them top six of the happiest. I put them in the bottom six happy wise.
Oh, you shouldn't talk about woodpeckers. Killing woodpeckers, Mark. Yeah. Then you know.
I just don't think they're happy at all. But I will say I'd put them top maybe one or two. Or definitely contending for number one, resilient. The fact that that the Vikings fans, they take their kick in the stomach or a lower region. And they lay there and they howl for a month or 2 months or 3 months. But when it's time to get back up and try again, they do it. Leads to my book or one of the chapters was, you know, just the comparison of the obvious comparison of Charlie Brown. You know, the ball's going to be pulled away and Charlie believes he's going to hit it, man. And
one swallows up that rainbow of hope more than Minnesota Vikings fans.
Huh? I think they're, you know, if it ever does happen, it's same way for Cleveland, for people who aren't in their 70s, you know, because the Browns were the model franchise of the NFL for, you know, the 50s, certainly 50s and the 40s, although they were in a different league, and then they got merged in 50, and you know, so there was dominance there that it doesn't do anything for me, and I'm an old man, and it's so. But it's sort of like if the Browns ever got the Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, it had a certain feeling of the Vikings. You know, if they ever did win the Super Bowl, it would be fun to watch and fun to see because I don't think a Vikings fan, if the Vikings were leading 30-3 and there were 12 minutes left in the Super Bowl, I know where you guys would be. You'd be on your knees. please. Or you'd be saying this is going to be a tough loss.
There's been so many.
Please take away from this. A, I'm not shooting woodpeckers. And two, I said you're the most resilient group in the NFL.
Yeah, we'll see how far it gets you with these positive Vikings posters. So if not, I'll incite them and I'll tell them more stories about you to get them going after you. That's my job. But anyway, thanks, Mark. Thanks for your woodpecker stories and everything else you got going. Thanks, Mike Walden, for producing the show. Thanks, Joe Johnson, for creating it in the first place. And thanks to all you folks for tuning in. We appreciate it each week. We'll be back next week. Hopefully there'll be something more to talk about, or else Mark's going to have to go shoot some woodpeckers and we have a real story on our hand then.
No woodpeckers were harmed in the filming of this podcast.
All right. Then that's the bottom line. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. And until then, skol.
Skol.